Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. The nominees for the 2021 Grammy Awards are being announced as we speak. It's been a difficult year for music and music fans, with tours canceled and venues shuttered, but artists continue to put out some pretty amazing music, as shown by this year's list of nominees. Some artists took on the problems of 2020 head-on in their music, while others offered a much-needed escape and a reason to get up and dance it all out. Awards were announced in 84 categories, along with the ceremony's host, Trevor Noah. I'm here for that. But as usual, all eyes were on the big four: Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best New Artist. Some familiar names won some high praise, including Fiona Apple and Taylor Swift. There's some newcomers got recognized as well: Big Thief, Phoebe Bridgers, and Bad Bunny. And with the 63rd annual ceremony scheduled to take place next year, people are speculating as to what the event might actually look like. Here with his take on Grammy nominations is our friend Matthew Schnipper, the former executive editor of Pitchfork, former editor-in-chief of Fader, currently writing for Substack newsletter Deep Voices. Matthew, welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Allison.
So as you're watching the you probably know more than I do. I've been kind of looking out of the corner of my eye at the nominees. What are some of your initial reactions to this group of nominees? What have you seen that has made you think, that's interesting?
We are still waiting for the big four to come out. So those will be rolled out shortly. I have to say, the thing that's most exciting right now is the rock performance category is all women, actually, which I have to imagine is the first time that that's happened. And it really seems like it is a very current take, which is not always the thing that you would expect from the Grammys, with Fiona Apple, Big Thief, Phoebe Bridgers, Haim, my favorite, Brittany Howard, and Grace Potter. I noted that. And I also noted the gap between best rap songs and best rap albums is a generation or two between the kind of current mainstream rap artists and people who I think that if you were born in a year that doesn't have an 80 or before in it, you likely have never heard of, after.
What's an example of that? Just for people.
I don't think that if you're listening right now and you have a teenager, like, and you ask them what they think about the baby, and then you ask them about what they think about Royce the 5'9", you know, get ready for some excitement and then get ready for some blank stares. And I think what that shows is how much that, you know, what's important in music for rap right now is songs, you know. You know, Megan Thee Stallion was nominated for Savage with Beyonce. You know, that is an incredible song that basically takes on the year, Lil Baby's song about the George Floyd protests and about the kind of current state of race in America. All of those, you know, Nas's entire album, even if it has more songs, can't hold a candle to the substance of those tracks.
My guest is Matthew Schnipper. We're talking about the Grammy nominees. Out of the gate, Fiona Apple earned a number of nominations. What was your impression of Fetch the Bolt Cutters when it first came out? A lot of people, it blew their minds.
I think, you know, I'm a Fiona head. You know, I've always loved Fiona Apple. and I love Fetch the Bolt Cutters. I have to say, it's a kind of album that I think so many different kinds of music fans love. It's super rhythmic. It's kind of fun. It's wild. It has dogs on the cover. It's a really kind of kooky album, but it's also very earnest. And I would love to see, I don't know, for some people probably remember when Fiona Apple in the early 90s went in the up in the VMAs and said that the whole world is BS when she won her award, which was an incredible award moment. I would love to see something similar from her on a Grammy stage, because it seems as though the world is maybe even more BS than it was at that point. I am so curious what her state of mind would be if she were to take home some big nominations. I love this album. I think if people haven't listened to it, you know, when I was at Pitchfork, it was an album that we gave a perfect 10 to. I think it really deserves that.
Let's take a listen to a little Fiona Apple from Fetch the Bolt Cutters.
Fetch the bolt cutters. I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters. I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters. I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters.
That was Fiona Apple. My guest is Matthew Schnipper. We're talking about the Grammy nominations. It seems that Phoebe Bridgers is having a big year, nominated in rock categories, also nominated for Best New Artist. We actually played our interview with her yesterday. What stands out to you about Phoebe Bridgers?
Phoebe Bridgers is an amazing songwriter. I think she's one of those people. I'm assuming this will not be nominated for a Grammy, but recently she covered the Goo Goo Dolls song Iris with Maggie Rogers, released it on Bandcamp for sale, and then donated all of the proceeds to Stacey Abrams' Fair Fight organization. And it was just like, some people who are listening may remember that kind of classic 90s radio cheese that was the Goo Goo Dolls. And she made this song sound like it was, you know, written by, you know, by God herself, just like this, like, classic, wonderful, you know, lamenting song. So she has this really strong sense of humor, but she's able to take it and, you know, address, like, pretty serious issues. So when you're listening to her, you know, it's like watching, you know, oh my God, someone will make fun of me for saying this, but you know, it's like an Albert Brooks film sometimes, something like that. You know, she's sardonic, you know, she definitely seems like the coolest friend you'll ever have, you know? And it's cool to see her nominated. You know, she was a big part of a huge New York Times story about, you know, a Me Too story about the guitar player and songwriter Ryan Adams, who she had collaborated in the past. And it's cool to see her supplant his kind of corny guitar playing, you know, and just do, you know, become more successful. It's great to see her recognized by the Grammys, because I think kind of the, you know, the indie mainstream has really seen her to be, this is a person who I think could take over. And it's cool to see her do it entirely on her own terms. This is not a record that's on a major label. You know, she's not a person who is making concessions in her sound. She made a record that sounds like exactly what she wanted to do, and to see that connect with people is really exciting. I would say a similar thing for Haim. They haven't gotten as many nominations as of yet, but the album that they put out this year is incredible. There are songs that are about, you know, there are songs that are about feminism, there are songs that are about dancing, there are songs about sisterhood, and there are so many different modes on that album. It doesn't have a sheen in the way that you would, you know, expect. I think that's the thing that's most exciting about the women who are getting nominated, is that there's a kind of rawness to them. You know, you listen to Brittany Howard's voice and it's like, you know, it's my God. Like, I can't believe that's coming out of a human being. There's nothing auto-tuned about that, you know. There's nothing that feels shiny. There's nothing that feels artificial. It feels very human. And I think that that's kind of what's cool about Phoebe Bridgers, is that she feels like the coolest kind of human, and that's translated very well onto song.
Looks like Harry Styles had a pretty good day. He's been nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album, Best Music Video, and Best Pop Solo Performance. Let's listen to a little bit of Harry Styles and talk about it on the other side. This is a taste of I Adore You. Why do you think Harry Styles had such a big year, Matt?
I mean, his outfits, am I allowed to say that?
Well, there, you know, there's
he
something about
cool.
He's cool. There's something about his style, his vocal style, and his style. There's nothing wrong saying that.
You know, absolutely. I mean, he's on the cover of Vogue right now. I have to say, like, maybe we can address this quickly. It looks like he is sucking in nitrous oxide from a balloon, like outside of a Phish concert, while wearing a Gucci dress. I think, like, it is the strangest cover I've ever seen. I mean, I'm here for it. He really transitioned well from being, you know, a teen star to being a, you know, a mainstream huge star. You know, I watched Queen's Gambit, and I feel like they just styled the, you know, that guy based straight up on Harry Styles. I have to say, you know, while I like his music, I find it still a little bit bland, but I like him so much. Like, he's an exciting character, and he seems playful and adventurous. But I think in the way that we're talking about artifice and not artifice with Phoebe Bridgers, you know, there is still that, you know, this is a song that feels engineered to succeed, whereas Phoebe Bridgers, I feel like, sat down in a studio and wrote what's in her heart. You know, I think, you know, there's got to have been, you know, 40 different songwriters and producers on most of Harry Styles' songs. You know, you can make it sound good. You know, you can't kind of wear a dress in the same way that Harry Styles is. That's authentic. I think I'm more interested in the kind of authenticity of him as a character, and I find that to translate a little bit less in his songwriting. You know, I did notice in a couple categories he was nominated against Taylor Swift, whose album Folklore is sort of a, you know, kind of, you know, it's funny to say for one of the most famous people in the world, an indie album, but it does have that indie sound, and I could see them being, you know, two very, very famous people who have made have very different takes on what music should sound like in 2020. I could see them kind of being the two, you know, going head to head in some of those categories.
We're talking with music writer Matthew Schnipper about today's Grammy nominations. So Best Classical Composition, a nomination for Devante Hines. That's interesting.
I thought that was so cool. He is, you know, also known as Blood Orange. I think we've actually talked about him on the show before. Mm-hmm. He is great. And he's a real kind of polymath songwriter. His first albums were sort of, you know, he came out of, you should Google image search him. He had the most amazing emo haircut you've ever seen. And then he kind of went into making kind of straight indie songs and then bigger pop. And then from there, he kind of got, he literally performed with Philip Glass. And he's gotten really interested in classical music. And he made this album with Third Coast Percussion, who's actually won a Grammy before. And it's great, this album called Fields. It's cool to see genres breaking down. And it's not only is he, you know, I would say, oh, sure, you might expect to hear some of that flavor in his pop albums. It's cool to see it going the other way, that he's taking what he's interested in and actually, you know, going on their terms. It's not just, oh, I like hearing a little bit of this, you know, this kind of classical music, and I'm going to put an influence on my pop record. He dove into it. I think he is the kind of, you know, he's the kind of songwriter I think that, like, could stick around for a very long time, who could really make a big influence on what music is. I mean, he already has in a lot of ways. You know, he helped define Solange's sound, Scott Carrera, and some other stars. But I love seeing him play around in different fields, and it would be cool to see him continue to do that. You know, give him a chorus. Let's see what he has to do with, like, a choir or, you know, anything else. He's made soundtracks. I'm sure he'll expect, you know, to do that. I mean, we could see him getting an Oscar at some point for a score. You know, he seems like an EGOT potentially. Maybe. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit. What do you think? Too much for Dev Hines?
You know, no. Wait, why not? Hey, I want to tell you that while we're album of the year came out while we were talking, Folklore, Taylor Swift, Future Nostalgia, Dua Lipa, Chilombo, Black Pumas Deluxe, Everyday Life, Coldplay, Jesse Volume 3, Jacob Collier, Haim, Women in Music Part 3, and Hollywood's Bleeding Post Malone. So out of that list, I think there are names that a lot of people recognize. It seems, and I'm scrolling, so this may change over the course of this conversation. It seems like Dua Lipa is coming out with at least 8 nominations. So
That's
when you
crazy.
Think about
good for her.
Yeah, when you think about Dua Lipa, what makes her different than a lot of the other pop dance artists?
She seems extremely, you know, she's charming, she's funny. I think her taste in beats is very current. She has songs that sound like they're disco songs. You know, I think, think about when you listen to Sylvester Mighty Real, you know, that's a song that's probably, 40 years old, and it still sounds super fresh. I think some of her songs still sound like that. You know, she has that same kind of vibe where she's sort of she's orchestrating the moment, and it's like, it's an epic one. So I think that, like, she's able to do that in a way that feels fun, authentic. It doesn't feel stuffy. You know, I know she reminds me a bit of Rosalia, you know, who sings mostly in Spanish, Dua Lipa, sings in English, but she's, you know, I think is Eastern European. But she seems like a person who is, enthusiastic. She seems like, I don't know, you know, she seems like a Donna Summer disco star in a sort of way, but kind of, you know, on a slightly smaller scale for the radio. But there is that kind of expanse to her music that I really enjoy.
Yep. Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and Dua Lipa dominated the nominations. I need you to answer this in like 30 seconds. It's so hard. Oh, I can't, you know what? I can't even ask you this question. So I wanted to ask you about Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun. But that is so unfair to have you answer it this quickly. So I might have to call you back up tomorrow and get the answer to that. I just feel like we need to talk about that a little more in depth. The Grammys
are
so interesting.
That's a wild story.
That is a wild story. Hey, Matthew Schnipper, former executive editor of Pitchfork, currently writing for Substack Deep Voices. Matthew, we'll get you back on the show and we'll talk about this whole losing master rights on another program. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. Congratulations on your first Grammy nomination, Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion. Gotta love that. Hey, Matthew, thanks for being with us. This is all of it for this hour. Stay with us.